On this episode of The Playbook, in my opinion, the best pitcher in baseball, Trevor Bauer, starting pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds and the co-founder of Momentum. And Trevor and I are going to discuss the similarities between scaling a business and becoming an elite pitcher. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have the best pitcher in baseball with me. I'm so excited. And he's an ex-Bruin, which I am a UCLA fan. So Trevor Bauer, welcome to The Playbook. He's the starting pitcher for the Reds, co-founder of Momentum, and you certainly have a lot of momentum going both in your personal and professional life. Welcome to The Playbook.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Right on. Well, you know, it's interesting because if I could have been any type of professional athlete, I'd want to be a pitcher. Grew up with Wellesley down in San Diego. We were talking about Randy Hennis, one of the UCLA pitchers. But what other job, you know, can you have that has such great notoriety? You know, you get to be part of the game, but you only have to work like once every 4 or 5 days. It's not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig at all. Get to watch a lot of baseball, get to hang out in the dugout and don't have to go through the daily grind of trying to get your body ready. You do getting ready for the next start, but not in the same way as the position players. And like you said, it gives you a great platform to be able to, you know, talk about the things that you're passionate about and, you know, live the kind of life that you're wanting to live. So I'm super excited to be able to do it. I'm very blessed to be able to do it. Growing up, it was always a dream of mine to be able to do it, but it didn't seem tangible. You know, it's like, I looked up there on the screen and saw these players as superstars, watching Dodger games growing up in LA and stuff. And I was like, man, if one day I could just be one of those guys, that'd be awesome. But it didn't seem like a tangible goal, you know? So to be here finally and to be able to be in that space and hopefully be doing the same type of thing for the next generation of kids is such a blessing.
And that's such a great attitude to take, kind of planting seeds under trees that you may not even sit under. But one of the things about pitchers that makes or breaks a pitcher, besides their health, obviously, is the way they use that time. You know, it's really easy for a day-to-day player to stay focused because they're very routine-oriented. And as you know, Trevor Hoffman, for example, was an extreme routinist. And being able to stay focused and productive, accessible, and gracious during that time and not do detrimental things. There's the anomaly. I mentioned David Wells, who, you know, had a different kind of system of routine for what he did on the off hours. But, you know, I know pitchers are great golfers and great jugglers because they got plenty of time sitting on the bench to juggle baseballs and play golf. But the ones that I really admire are the ones that expand and accelerate themselves beyond just pitching. They expand their mind, philanthropy, other things that they do, and they can make such a huge impact. You know, let's talk about Momentum. Where did you come up with the idea to create such a great content platform and provide, you know, fans an opportunity to speak their minds and allow you to speak your mind as well?
Yeah, so the idea really started at the 2018 All-Star Game. I heard the commissioner said that they'd like to market their players better in baseball, but the players have to want to engage. So that was one thing that kind of sparked it off, is like, okay, if it's going to be put on the players and like I can help solve that problem. Just seeing baseball, the popularity of baseball kind of declining amongst young fans. I mean, you see this massive participation rate in baseball until about 12 or 13 years old. And there's a cliff because kids go to high school. Baseball is no longer popular. It's all about football and basketball. And then you see the young fan base really go away. So from the like 14 till 34, 35 range is this, there's not really any baseball fans. And then baseball fans kind of come along. The average baseball age is like 55 years old, fan age for a baseball fan. So that was something too. I care about seeing the game in a better place than it was when I came in. So trying to help solve baseball's popularity problem. And ultimately, it all comes back down to the same thing, which is you have to create inspiration for the young people. You have to create some sort of connection between them and the players so it seems like a tangible goal. So they identify with these players in a way that seems like they could one day do it. And that starts with connecting them, the players and the fans, on a human level, showing that we eat the same cereal, we wear the same clothes, we have the same hobbies, play the same video games, you know, things that we say to each other when we're joking around are the same types of things that high schoolers are saying to each other when they're joking around and stuff. And so that's really what Momentum is aimed at doing, is connecting, you know, creating that human connection between the fans and the players.
You know, one of the other interesting things I see, I obviously work with a lot of athletes and help as a business coach to them transition. And it's interesting because a lot of them, at first, they're a little hesitant to use a business coach. And yet, you know, once I start talking to them and say, hey, you know, have you, you know, had a pitching coach to help you pitch? And they're like, yeah, since I've been five. I said, why do you think you can go ahead, because you have a great idea, which Momentum is, without having mentorship, think that you'll have the same sort of success that you've had on the field that you'll have off the field? What were some of the challenges that you maybe weren't aware of when, you know, you come up with this great idea? Obviously, it has a great intention or purpose or why to it, but then you have to get into the nuances of actually executing on building a business and a platform. What were some of the challenges that you weren't aware of, and how did you deal with those?
So I wasn't expecting Momentum to take off as quickly as it did. So when we first launched it was just me and my business partner, Tyke, and we didn't have any sort of infrastructure built in, really on the accounting side, on the hiring side, on, you know, any sort of standard operating procedures and company policies and all this different stuff, because it was just two guys building a YouTube channel. And it really, you know, took off in popularity. And so then it's like, oh, we need to hire someone, to help with this or to help with that. And like, I'd never hired anyone before. So it kind of accelerated a lot quicker. That was the biggest thing. But I'm a problem solver at heart. Like, that's how I've been raised. My dad was an engineer. And so he taught me from a very young age, this engineering process, which is evaluate where you are, evaluate where you want to be, design a process to get there, and then iterate and go through that process over and over. So it's this feedback loop where you can learn very quickly. And so because of that, I've had so much experience with it that I can look at problems now and say, okay, like, this is clearly a problem in the business. Here's a hypothesis on how to solve it. Let's try it. Let's learn. Let's try something else. Let's learn. Okay, now we're in a better spot there. Now we've got to go over here. And that's really what interests me about business, is it's this giant puzzle to solve. And it's just kind of trying to put all the pieces in the right place to paint the picture that you're trying to paint. And it's been super exciting to do that. One thing that I've been going through this season is I just don't have the amount of time that I had last year. Last year, it was me and Tyke. It was me, Tyke, and Steven. It was me, Tyke, and Scott. So building throughout the year, so there's only two or three other people that I had to interface with and manage, and we didn't have as much going on as we do this year. This year, I just don't have the amount of time to devote to it. So it's like, okay, how do I solve that problem? Well, I need to get someone in this place to do this. So it's like, I'm kind of working on the higher level stuff in the organization. But I find business to be very much like a team. You know, you have a group of people that are all coming together to do one type of, you know, to accomplish one goal. And you have to manage the personalities and put everybody in the best position to succeed and be at their best, while taking into account the feelings of everybody, the health of the organization. So it's just a fun process for me.
That's awesome. You know, you and I share one thing. I mean, your dad being a chemical engineer, you take a scientific approach, a metric-based approach to on and off the field ventures. And I always tell people, it's just in the math. They ask all these complicated questions. And I was like, well, let's quantify that. You know, I'm not a big fan of the subjective value of things. And so utilizing that scientific approach, what things are applicable, you know, to your pitching career and to business that you look at? Because obviously the entrepreneur, the person, is like a pitcher. You know, you're the leader of your team. You're on the mound. So what are some of the scientific things or mathematical things, if you could name one or two even, that you found to be successful?
Yeah, feedback loops and opportunity costs, I think, are two. Opportunity cost is kind of more of an economic principle, but it's all math in a sense. Like, you have to put a value on what you're doing and what you could be doing that you aren't doing. In baseball, it's like, all right, well, I could go lift for 2 hours today and get stronger, or I could go do this other thing. Maybe I could work on my mechanics or work on this pitch. Like, which one is going to get me closer to my goal quicker? And then in order to continually evaluate those decisions that you're making. You need a feedback loop. So it's like, okay, I'm going to try this. I expect to see results in X amount of time. If I'm not seeing those results, I maybe need to evaluate again where I am and change the process a little bit, but I need to make sure that whatever I'm doing has some sort of quantifiable output that I can evaluate. I might feel stronger, but if I'm not objectively stronger, did I just waste 3 months training? If I don't measure on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, same thing in business, you know, it's like, man, I really love watching this content that we're putting out, but other people don't seem to love it. So is it worth spending the $5,000 or whatever, you know, X amount of dollars to produce this when we're not getting the growth that we need to get to the ultimate goal of what we're trying to accomplish? Or would we be better off reducing cost and producing something over here that might not be as high production quality, but is cheaper and we can produce more of it and it plays better? So it's all just this balancing two sides of the equation, basically. You have X plus Y on one side and A plus B on the other side. And how do you get those things to match and go in the correct direction? How do you solve the equation?
That's awesome. Even though it's counterintuitive, you know, the feedback loop, which is very scientific in its nature to gather data and implement and execute on it, it also can lead to something that you and I share, which is superstition. I'm embarrassed to say, but I wore the same pair of socks when I graduated law school for almost 3.5 years. I actually had worn through, they had holes in them, which led through the holes to my shoes in the snow in Indiana. And my mom's like, you make a fortune. You bought me a house and a car. You're a millionaire. Why don't you buy another? Because they were my lucky socks because I had a feedback loop. And you actually have your own superstition. I think eating a piece of pie before you start, is that true?
It has been in the past. My family, so my dad is actually allergic to like corn sweeteners and stuff. So, and sugars. So my family made this cherry pie with honey in it and it's delicious. And so one Christmas, my sister got me a bunch of sealed, what's the word? So I don't know, they're air sealed jars.
Air pack.
Yeah, and so she would make pie and then send me the pie in the air sealed jars. So I'd have little like, you know, bite-sized pies. That was really fun. I try to stay as much away from superstition as I can and as much in the routine as I can. But being a baseball player, I mean, the game is so steeped in superstition that, you know, like a perfect example, just the other day, Alec Mills threw a no-hitter for the Cubs. And I was sitting in St. Louis in the dugout. We were playing a game. And my teammate, Sonny Gray, next to me was like, oh, he's almost there. I'm like, who's almost where? And he like kind of does this. And I'm like, okay, now I'm looking at the field. Like, is the shortstop going to cover second? What's going on? And he goes, no, the scoreboard. And I look up there, there's 8 games on the board. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I don't get it. And then I see the Cubs score. It's 12-0, but there's a 0 in the hit column. I'm like, oh, it's the 9th inning. Interesting. I wonder if it's the big one or the small one. And by big one, we mean, is it a perfect game? And by small one, is it a no-hitter? You can't say no hitter or perfect game. I'm like, oh, I got to find out. So I run up to the clubhouse. So like, it's so ingrained in the game, which is, man, there's so many good stories about different superstitions.
Oh yeah. Sean Green was a client of mine, at Lee Steinberg's and a friend of mine. And he had a knock on wood all the time. It drove me crazy. Even in business as an entrepreneur, he'd be knocking on the desk. I was like, Sean, you got to let off of that. That's incredible. But I do have a great idea. Bauer Bites. I may have to give you a call afterwards and we'll market the Bauer Bites, the honey-based bite-sized apple pie, not only for great taste, but for good luck. That may work for us.
Definitely something there. I like that. I like where your mind's going.
All right, good. Well, you still got some creativity to you. Just last, as we finish up, you know, it seems to be a common theme to set an example, you know, to be able, and we were on earlier today with an entrepreneur in the African-American community and how important it is to have and to know the history of some great Black leaders that have, you know, Ben Banneker, Old Ben was created from, you know, the inventors of so many different things so that people can see someone like them. And it seems to me that you, as a player and a child, you didn't see that. You know, you were like, oh, I didn't think I could really be like them. There was a disconnect. And then you saw, you know, Manfrey telling you, hey, it's up to you to connect with these fans and to give them the dream that they not only can be like you, but I think it's important, as we know, to be better than us, right? We're setting a mark to surpass not just to do it. And when we see something, it's easier to overachieve that. You know, for you, where do you see that iconish, goal setting venture for these young entrepreneurs? Because I think as much as it's great for kids to want to be a professional athlete, percentage wise, that's very difficult. But I think entrepreneurs are going to save our world. And I love the fact that, you know, hey, I'm an average Division III football player, but I'm making a huge impact on the world because of what I learned on the field and some of the lessons that you're teaching. You know, for me, it's really important. What can these people do to say, hey, you know, I can do this? What are some of those key values or principles that you can teach and set forth as an icon for them?
Yeah, so the biggest one for me, I mean, and my dad did a great job of teaching me this, is from a very young age, is the work ethic. And he taught me that lesson through baseball. I wanted to have pitching lessons to be a better pitcher. And he said, I'll get you pitching lessons. However, your end of the deal is you have to do the work in the days in between so that you don't take the same lesson over and over. We have to see that you're taking a new lesson, you're improving. My dad worked out of state during the week. So he worked in New Mexico building custom doors and furniture. I was in LA. So if I wanted to get work in during the week, I had to find a way to do it myself. So from a very young age, I would ride my bike up to the local park and go work out on my own. So it taught me to take ownership of my career. It taught me the work ethic. And then looking up to some of my mentors in the business space and reading Elon Musk's book and the way he thinks about time. And he's like, okay, well, if I put in 100 hours a week and my competition only puts in 40, I'm going to outpace them in X amount of years. I'm going to just blow right by them, right? And I think that that's a big thing for young people. It's like, you may not be where you want to be right now, but how do you expedite the process to getting there? How do you put in the work and understanding that, you know, I guess when you look at developmental psychology, you have growth mindset and fixed mindset, right? Fixed mindset is you either have it or you don't, and you can't improve it. And so growth mindset, having kids understand that you may not be there right now, you may not be where you want to be, but if you put in the work and you have the feedback loop and you look to the future and you stay persistent on accomplishing your goal, like, you can outpace people. Plan for the future. My dad always told me when I was a kid to plan to play on the high school baseball team. So when I was 8, I was planning for high school. And then once I accomplished that goal, I was like, well, how do I make a Division I team and play and not just be a bench one? And then how do I make it to the big leagues? And how do I make an all-star team? So it's always like setting that long-term goal so you have something that you're building towards and just put in the hours. That's really what it comes down to. The people who put in the hours and are attentive and devote themselves to something are the ones that make it.
And you certainly have, and momentum is something you have both on and off the field right now. You know, your YouTube channel dedicated sharing those true stories and the bold opinions, not just what everybody wants to hear, but the actual true opinions of people can truly inspire us. It creates that connection, that inspiration in spirit and connectivity. You do that through, like I do. People ask me, how are you a millionaire 9 months out of law school? I said, math and time, right? I worked twice as many productive hours, twice as efficiently, twice of statistical success, 7 days a week consistently. So when I, in 9 months, you know, got all these awards, I told the guys, they're like, oh my God, you killed the comp plan. You made $1 million. You know, your comp plan was at 250. I said, yeah, but I worked 10 years. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, I had 10 years of productivity in 9 months because I was twice as productive with the hours, efficiency, and statistics. It was 64 hour days, 7 days a week. That's 56 days a week. That equaled 10 years and 9 months. And I think you've really shown both athletically and entrepreneurial wise what you can do with time and math and a great attitude and a great, you know, perspective to help others. And I certainly appreciate you taking the time. The greatest pitcher in MLB today, right now, the starting pitcher for the Reds, Trevor Bauer, here with David Meltzer's Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.